Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ervin, Daf Ayin Tes. We're beginning on Ayin Tes and Aleph, about 10-15 lines down at the two dots. The two dots quotes the Mishnah, where it says, Nosan alov neser shirochav dalet. The Mishnah was talking about where you had a choritz, a ditch, that was in between two chatzeros. The ditch was more than 4 tvachim wide, and it was more than 10 tvachim deep, so it's a halachic, valid separation between the two courtyards, and therefore, neither one of the two courtyards is able to merge with the other one to make a single layer of chatzeros, but each of them can make their own separate layer of chatzeros. But the Mishnah had said that if you put a plank, if you put a board over the ditch, so then you would have a Pesach now between the two courtyards, and if you wish to, you can make a single layer of chatzeros. So we qualify this. Amar Rava. Rava said, Lo Shana, we said that you have to have the board, and this board has to be 4 tefachim wide, we said in the Mishnah. Nosan olav neser shirochav dalet, it has to be at least 4 tefachim wide, and of course, since the ditch is 4 tefachim wide, it has to be at least 4 tefachim long. So it has to be these dimensions, Rava said, only elo shenosan l'rachvo. It's when you put it across the ditch. So it goes from one side of the ditch to the other side of the ditch. In that situation, it has to have the double dimensions of being 4 tefachim to be able to cross over to the other side of the ditch, and it has to cover a distance of 4 tefachim in terms of its length. However, that's only if you're putting it in that orientation, perpendicular, if you wish, to the ditch. But if you're putting it parallel to the ditch, in other words, you can see this in the diagram in the art scroll next to figure footnote number 12, and you can see this in the illustrated Gemara on page 90 in diagram number 270. Or in the Pirush Chai, you can see this on page 164, diagram number 61. And all of them are showing the same thing. When it's parallel, the orientation of this plank that you're putting there, this board that you're putting there, is parallel to the way that the ditch is running, then it doesn't have to cross over to the other side of the ditch. Afilu kol shunami. The width of this, as long as its length is 4 tefachim, the width is going to be any amount will be fine, because the width of the ditch is 4 tefachim, and anything that you put that minimizes the width of the ditch to being less than 4 tefachim now makes it easy to pass over. Shari miyat tumei dalet. And therefore, in these situations, a person can easily step over the remaining less than 4 tefachim of the ditch. So as long as it's 4 tefachim along the length, and it is memayated along those 4 tefachim for being 4 tefachim in the width, so therefore it is perfectly good. How does it stay in this position? So Rashi points out there's some sort of pegs, and you can see this clearly in the illustrated Gemara in the diagram on 270, where you see that it's standing on these pegs, and that's how it stays physically upright in that position. We quote the Mishnah again, where it says, V'chein shnei gizustros zu kineged zu. The Mishnah had a case where you have balconies, gizustros, projections, porches that stick out. Now, the way Rashi is understood by some, and you can see clear diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai on page 163, diagram number 55, this is the way Bekida Eger understands this, and he points out that they're on the same side of the street, these balconies, and the picture in diagram number 54, which is according to the Ritva, says that they're on opposite sides of the street. In any event, when you have these balconies, you can connect them with a plank as well, and as long as the plank is more than 4 tefachim wide, so this is a valid connection, and therefore these two houses that these balconies come out from could merge together and make a single Erev Chatzeros. And again, we qualify this. Amar Rava, Rava says, Had the Amar, is that which we said, if it's Zu Kineged Zu, as long as they're directly either on the same side of the street or on the other side of the street, but they're directly opposite each other on the same height level, as well as directly across, there's no diagonal, so you can go in a straight line from one to the other, either on the same side or across the street, across the Rishus HaRabim that's underneath them, in. So then it works. Then this is a good connection. However, Zu Shelo Kineged Zu, low. But if they're not directly against each other, they're on an angle. You can see this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 56 on page 163, or in the illustrated Gemara in diagrams number 271, and we'll see in a moment also 272 on page 91. And you can see diagrams of this in the art scroll in the footnote, diagrams next to footnote number 16. So if they're perfectly aligned, then they're good. But if there is going to be a diagonal, so it's going to be a little bit dangerous, unfortunately, say, for people to walk in, they're not going to be comfortable walking, and therefore it is not considered a valid connection. Likewise, vizu lamala mizu nami, if they're not on the same height, it's also no good. Again, the reasoning is because it's somewhat dangerous that people aren't going to feel comfortable if the height is significantly different. And you can see this in all of the diagrams that I just pointed out as well. So there, a connection is not going to be good because it's going to be too much of a risk to go from one to the other if the height is more than three tefachim away from the other. So this is only true, lo amarin ella sheyesh bein zeh lezeh shelo tefachim. It's only not considered a good connection if it's more than three tefachim. But if it's less than three tefachim, avol ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha, if there's only three or less tefachim between them, so then the principle of lavud essentially kicks in, and it's gezustra akumahi. And we view this as if it's just a slanted board, and therefore it is not halachically going to be a problem, and they can connect in this fashion. You can see different ways of looking at this in the Pirush Chai as well on page 164 in diagrams number 64 and 62 and 63. That concludes this discussion, and now we move on to the next Mishnah. We had already alluded to this Mishnah in yesterday's shir, and here we see Masbein. Masbein, Rashi reminds us, is a Gadish Shel Tevin. It's a haystack. Umasik apnei rochav kol chatzeros. As we'll see, this is a masbein shebein shtei chatzeros. This is between two courtyards, and you have essentially a mechitz here. You can see what this looks like in the diagrams in the Pirush Chai on page 165, in diagram number 66, and in a moment we'll also look at diagram number 67. So you have essentially a mechitza that's a haystack in between these two chatzeros. And it's a kosher mechitza. It's gavoa asar tvachim along the entire border between the two chatzeros. It goes up 10 tvachim tall. And in this situation, it separates the two chatzeros. So ma'arvim shnayim vein ma'arvim echad. So they are two separate entities, one to the right of the haystack, one to the left of the haystack. And they can't be ma'arv together. Each can make, of course, its own erev chatzeros on its own side. But they can't be ma'arv together because they are separated by a mechitza called this masvein, this haystack. Now, this masvein is fodder for the animals. So if each side wishes to, they're allowed to have their animals eat from this haystack, and we don't concern ourselves that they're going to eat so much that the barrier, the mechitza, is going to be ruined. So elu machilin mikan, the people on the right side of the masvein, they're allowed to have their animals go and eat from the haystack. Elu machilin mikan, elu machilin mikan. And on the left side of the haystack, they're allowed to let the animals go and eat this. And again, you can see this clearly in the diagram that I mentioned on page 165 in the Pirush Chai, diagram number 66. Now, if they eat so much, nismayit hateven me'asor tvachim, if in fact they eat so much that the height of the haystack is no longer 10 tvachim tall, and Rashi points out, it has to be al gav kol hachotzer, it has to be across the entire chotzer, al pnei, the bach is the word al pnei kol hachotzer, or b'meshech yud amos vod, or either it can be just a breach of 10 amos, if the entire length of this haystack is more than 10 amos, then it just needs a 10 amma breach. If the whole thing is less than 10 amma, then the entire thing has to be breached. If you have such a breach because the animals ate so much, that across at least a 10 amma area, across the whole courtyard, it is no longer 10 tvachim tall because the animals ate from it. So then now, ma'arvin echad. Now, Rashi says, im nismayit b'chol, before Shabbos, if this was done, so now they're allowed to make an erev. You can't make an erev on Shabbos. So if they wish to before Shabbos, if this occurred, they're now considered like one courtyard. They don't have the opportunity to go and make two separate erev chatzeros for the right and left of the haystack, because the haystack is no longer considered an acceptable or an effective barrier because it is less than 10 tefachim across a 10 amma area or across the entire courtyard. And therefore, if this has been diminished before Shabbos, they have no right other than to make a single Erev between both courtyards. Gemara now discusses this. Amar Rav Huna, the Gemara says, Rav Huna sells us, Ubavach lo yitain lesoch kupaso v'yachel. We said that you're allowed to let the animal go and eat from the haystack, but you can't go and take hay with your hands and feed it to the animals, put it into a basket, and then go bring it to your animals. Why not? So Rashi brings down two reasons. In Dibra Maskul Shalo Yitain, Rashi tells us, you're not allowed to do this b'yodayim l'toch kupah, so you can't take the hay with your hands and put it into a basket to feed the animals. Why? Because Dilma Shakul Tuva, because you're taking it with your hands. You may take quite a bit. Umamit lei me'asari, and you're going to cause the machitza, this haystack, this masvein, to be diminished below 10 tvachim. And then you're going to carry the courtyard, but you can't anymore. And this courtyard no longer has a mechitza around it, and therefore it is now open to the other courtyard, and we have a rule that if something is open to another courtyard, then you don't have the ability to carry it in any longer. And therefore, in our Mishnah, it said, U'machilim diktoni b'masnisin, it means only Shabbahema bov yocheles. When our Mishnah said that you can give it to feed, it lets your animal go and feed, but you can't take it with your hands. Aye, how come in the case of the animals, we're not concerned that they'll diminish it, like we are with the concern that the person is going to take too much? So Rashi tells us, there in the Mishnah, we're not concerned that the animal will eat too much, because the behema, the animals eat right now, they eat a little bit. As opposed to a person, he's like, oh, I'm going to take a whole bunch of stuff, I only want to make one trip, and he's going to take too much. That's the first explanation that Rashi gives, why you can let the animal eat it, but you can't go and put it in a basket yourself. Second answer, Lishnachrina, Rashi says, is lo yitein l'sol kupaso mishum demoktsa meyasmo l'mechitzazu. He says that this is moktsa. You put it up there to be a mechitza. So therefore, you've designated it to be a mechitza and not as animal fodder. And that's why you can't touch it with your hands. So these are the two reasons that Rashi brings down, according to Rav Huna, why the animal can go and take it, but the person can't go put it in a kupa himself. So Gemara says, really? That implies ula okme shari? So you would be allowed to go and bring your animal over there and let your animal eat it? As Rashi says, La'okme behemto al ha'teven, you can bring your animal over to this haystack, kidei lechol, shari, that's allowed? V'lo gazrinan, we don't make a gzeira, du moshoku b'yadayim, v'sofila, we don't make, therefore, a gzeira in this situation that if we let you bring your animal there, you may come to go and take it with your hand, and therefore we shouldn't allow you to bring your animal there? Alma, what do we see? Rashi says, Chomer alei isa d'rabanan, v'lo avar alei. We see here that this whole thing is in the Rabbanan, and the rabbis didn't feel a need in this situation to go make a gzera. Is that really true? For Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Chanina, but we see elsewhere that they did make such a gzera. Rav Huna said, Rabbi Chanina, Ma'amid, or the Mesbehem to Agabi Yisav B'Shabbos, you're allowed to go and bring your animal on Shabbos to go and pasture, that you're allowed to do, and there is no gzera. As Rashi says, this is asavim chubarim lechol v'lo chayshinon dilma akar biyadayim u'machilah. We're not concerned over here. If you bring your animal over there, which you're allowed to do, you're mechuyev to feed your animal Shabbos. The animal has no problem in grazing on Shabbos, but we didn't make a gzer in that situation. And if you bring your animal over there, that you may come to go and pick the grass up, be oker it from the ground, which is an issa deraisa, and give it to your animal. The rabbis didn't make such a gzera. However, they said, "V'ein ma'amid adam es behemto agabi muktzah b'Shabbos." But you're not allowed to go bring your animal to a muktzah. Muktzah is essentially a collection of food that is also midrabbanon. It's muktzah. It was set aside for some other purpose, not for fodder for the animals. And therefore, you're not allowed to go bring your animal over that, because there we are concerned that you may come to go and take some of that with your hand, and it's muktzah. So we see by Inisa Daraisa, the rabbis didn't make any gzera, but they did make a gzera by Inisa Darabanan, and therefore Rav Huna Amar Rav Chinan says, we do make such a gzera for Inisa Darabanan, so why did Rav Huna say in the Mishnah that we don't make such a gzera? So Gemara says, you're right, Taka, but here we're talking about the koyim be'apah. In our Mishnah, when we said that you're allowed to let your animal feed, it didn't mean that you brought the animal over there directly, because then we would have to make a gzera. If you bring the animal over there directly, you may come to take it with your hand. As we just said, Rav Huna Amar Rav Chisda said, we do make such a gzera. However, in this situation, we're talking about, as Rashi says, lav demukim lo alo biyadayim, not that you led the animal there with the reins by yourself, elo koi biyapa, you stood in front of the animal so it couldn't turn in that direction, and you forced it to turn in the other direction. Shalote lech b'mokum acher, you led it by standing in front of it, and then the animal turned, and it turned towards the haystack. And that, v'i, ozlo v'yochlo, on its own. The animal went, as the Gemara says, ozlo v'yochlo, on its own. And therefore, v'kulei haylo gozer abonin. The rabbis didn't make that gezera, that you can't stand in front of your animal. So they did make gezera, don't lead the animal directly to the haystack, because it's only in Issa d'Rabbanan to take from it, and you may therefore not be careful. So therefore, the rabbis were gozer. By Issa d'Raisa, they wouldn't have to be gozer. But by Issa d'Rabbanan, they were gozer. But they weren't gozer in just standing in front of the animal. And that's the answer that Rav Huna would give for his statement on the Mishnah. Gemara is still not happy. Gemara says, V'lo yitin l'soch kuposu teven? And you're not allowed to go and put the teven in the basket? Why not? V'atanya, because you learned in a Braisa, and before we start the Braisa, one should look at the diagrams in the art scroll next to footnote number 36, albeit I think that's a little bit of a difficult diagram to fully understand. There's a much clearer diagram in the Pirush Chai on page 165 in diagram number 68, or you can see in the Illustrated Gemara on page 91, diagram number 273. And let me set the scenario up over here so you'll be able to understand it. You basically have a chotzer on the left, and you have a chotzer on the right. And in between it, you have three houses. Now, these aren't normal houses. These are sheds of some sort. These are areas that are breached one to the other in a very large way. And you have the house of these three houses on the left. The shed on the left has a breach into the middle house where the tevin is placed. And then there's a breach from this middle house into the house on the right. And the house on the right made a Erev Chatzeros with the Chatzer on the right. And the house on the left made an Erev Chatzeros with the Chatzer on the left. And this Tevin that was placed in the middle house is essentially the Mechitza, like we've been talking, between these two Chatzeros. That's the scenario, and now we can hopefully understand the Gemara. So, Vatanya, we learned in this bright, so you have a bias, Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, you have a house that's in between these two Chatzeros. This house is really compartmentalized into three separate areas. The left area, the middle area, and the right area. Umilu tevin. And they filled this middle compartment up with tevin. Again, you have a person who owns the left side of it, who made the Erev Chatzeros with the left-sided Chatzer. You have the person in the house over here on the right side of the house, the right side of the tevin in the middle room, who made an Erev Chatzeros with the people in the right-sided Chatzer. And this tevin in the middle is in like a no-man's land, and it's a mechitza. Neither party included this in their Erev Chatzeros. It was functioning as a mechitza. So that's the scenario that we've set up. You have this bayis shebein shtei chatzeros umilu tevin. So ma'arvim shnayim, each side, chatzer on the right, chatzer on the left of the tevin, they each make their own Erev Chatzeros. They can't merge together, vein marvin echad, because they have this mechitza separating them. Now, it says here, beferish, in this braisa, that not only can you have your animal go and eat from this, but zen no sein l'toch kupos v'yachil, that the people on the right side of Chatzer can go up to this matzvein in the middle, this pile of tevin in the middle, and they can go and take some tevin, put it into their basket, and feed it to their animals, and the other side can do the same thing, zen no sein l'toch kupos v'yachil. So both sides can do this. And if nismayet ha-tevin miyut tvachim, and if as a result of all these people taking, they have diminished it to below 10 tvachim, then shneyem asurim. Now nobody's allowed to carry because now they're breached one to the other. And the two chatzeros, if they have a breach one to the other on Shabbos, that eliminates their ability to continue to carry. So the Braisa says, what should you do? Is there a way to correct this? Ketzer u'osa. So yeah. So it says, let's say the person on one side, let's assume that it's the person on the right. So Noel as Beso, he should lock the door. He should close the door between his house and the chatzer on the right. Again, there are three compartments in this middle area. The middle one of the middle three here has the tevin in it. Then there's the compartment to the left, the house to the left, and the house to the right. So the person on the right should close off his connection from this house, the rightmost of the three inner middle houses. He should close the door to the chatzer. So now the chatzer on the right and all the houses around it, including that person's house, are now again an enclosed area, and they can continue to carry within their Erev Chatzeros. So no LS Beso, and more or less why he has to do both of these, Umivatelis Rishuso. He should likewise say, I'm giving up my rights in this house on the right of the Teven, and the other side can use it. I'm a vatelit to that Rishus. And therefore, he who is Osir, he's not allowed to use that area. But the Chaver Mutter, but the other side is now allowed to use it because this area was being made bottle to them, and therefore they can carry from the Tevin onto their Chatzer and back and forth as they wish to. That's what the Braisa says. Now, the Braisa continues and says, likewise, the Chenata Omer, Begov Shel Tevin. That's the Girsa that we have. Gov Shel Tevin. Some say it comes from the Lashon of Gevova. Others say it means, Rashi over here says it means a ditch, a hole, a bore of some sort. And on the side, it has the Girsa that it should be Beniv, which means a thick pile of Tevin. This would be like a stack of hay. In any event, whatever this is, this pile or a package or pit filled with this Teven is Bein Beis Techumei Shabbos. And you can see a diagram of this in the Art Scroll next to footnote number 41. Or you can see a diagram of this in the Pirush Chai on page 165, diagram number 69. And basically you have two cities, each of them extending their tchum right plop into the middle of this pile of hay. It doesn't go across the entire pile, it stops right in the middle. So city on the right would be able to use half of the hay, the half on its side, and the city on the left would have access to the other half of the hay on its side. The tchum is right plop in the middle of this haystack, of this pile of hay. So the same halacha, the Braisa tells us, applies over here. Each side is allowed to eat from it. Now we get to our question on Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna said that you're not allowed to go and with your hands put it into the basket. Ketani Mias, it says here in the Braisa, Zed no se letzoch kupas v'yachil, Zed no se letzoch kupas v'yachil, Kasha Rav Huna. Rav Huna's an Amora. Here we have a Braisa that specifically says not like him. So Amora says, no, it's not a problem. Amre, there's a difference over here between the bias, in this case here right now, filled with straw, and in the courtyard that you had a separation with the row of haystacks. Now, in the bayis, the Gemara says, Kivon de Ika. Now, we have the Girsa Mechitzos v'tikra, but many of the Farshas say that the word Mechitzos is incorrect and we should be deleted. That's Rashi's Girsa, and that's also the Marshal's Girsa, that you delete the word Mechitzos. So it should just be, Kivon de Ika Tikra, since there's a ceiling over here in this house, so Ki Mivchis, when you go and take some of the hay in this situation, in our house case, Minkura Le Milsa. The person's going to say, hey, I'm getting too low. Hey, I'm getting too low. Hey, I'm getting too low. Therefore, the rabbis didn't feel it necessary to put in an additional restriction because the person will be reminded. However, in our case in the Mishnah, we have this courtyard with just a row of hay along it, and no ceiling, hachalo min korle milsa. Person's not going to realize, hey, I took too much, because you're not going to have any dimension above you to say, hey, I'm now so much further away from the ceiling, I better be careful that I'm below 10 tefachin. And that's why Rav Huna is okay on saying our Mishnah doesn't allow you to take it by hand, but the Braisa says you can't take it by hand because they're talking about two different scenarios. Now we quote the Bayis again, Nismayda tevim yasor tefachim, if in fact it went below 10 tefachim, shneim asurim. So they're no good in this situation. Both sides in this courtyard, with the three houses in the middle, are no longer able to use their courtyards. So the Gemara says, Ha asara shari. That implies that if it was still more than 10 tefachim tall, it would be okay. Af agav the midalya tikra tuva. Even though the ceiling may have been, let's say, 20 tefachim tall, and you're now only 11 tefachim tall, but that's still okay, even though you're very far away from the ceiling. Now, a moment ago we just said, it's because you're close to the ceiling that you're going to be able to recognize the difference. But here it seems to say that it doesn't make any difference, no matter how close you are to the ceiling. So shema minah, we can learn also from here, mechitzos she'en magios letikra shimon mechitzos, that mechitzos don't have to go up all the way to the ceiling. So that's another thing that we can learn from this braisa, and this is a machlokus that we had previously. Does a mechitza have to go up to the ceiling or not? So it looks like it's asked and answered from this braisa that a mechitza doesn't have to go all the way up to the ceiling. So I have two terutzim to this. The first one is from Abaye. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, no, you know what we're talking about? The ceiling wasn't 20 tefachim tall. Hacha be'baye shlosha asar chosimashu askinan. We're talking here that the original ceiling was 12.9. It was 13, a little bit less. So the original ceiling was 12.9. The teven asara, and the teven was 10 tefachim. So between the 10 tefachim and the 12.9 is less than 3 tefachim. So because of the principle of lavud, there is no halachic proof that you don't have to go all the way up to the ceiling. Halachically, you are up to the ceiling here, and from this braisa, you can't bring me a raya one way or the other that a mechitza doesn't have to go all the way up to the ceiling. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but you can't tell from this braisa. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Amar, no, the original dimensions of this roof over here on this house, afilu tema bevayis asari, it was only 10 tefachim tall. Return to the Amud Beis. However, the tevin shiva mashu, the height of the haystack of the hay over there, was 7.1, 7 and something. So it's 7.1 up to the ceiling of 10. So again, because of the principle of lavud, the kol pachos mishlosha kilavud dami. So in halacha, we view this mechitza as going all the way up to the ceiling. So again, you can't bring me a raya one way or the other. Does the mechitza have to go up to the ceiling? In either Abaye's teretz or Huna Brei Yeshua's teretz, it is halachically considered as going up to the ceiling, so you can't bring us a raya. Gemara says, Bishlam l'Abaye, according to the first teretz of Abaye, we understand, Hainu Diktani, it says, Me Asara, that the haystack, the tevin that you had over here, was reduced, it was Memayit Me Asara, from 10, because there was 10. Again, we said it was 10 and the height of the ceiling was 12.9. So we understand why it says it was diminished from 10, because it was 10 originally. El Rafuna Bir Yeshua, there was only 7.1 originally. What do you mean when you say it was reduced? My Meyasara, it was reduced from 10. It never had 10, it only was 7.1. So the Gemara says, no, the Rehuda Bar Yeshua said it was reduced from 10. It meant from the din of 10, mitaras asara, from the din of a mechitza of 10, even though the hay itself wasn't 10. But if you lowered it anymore, so then it'll be reduced from the din of a mechitza of 10, because lavud will no longer apply. So Rehuda Bar Yeshua is okay with this language as well. Then we quote again, and we said, Shnei Nasurin, we said in this situation, both sides are asur when the hay is reduced in the middle to less than 10 tvachim, both sides are now no longer able to use the Reiru Chatzeros. Shmamina, we can learn from here, the Gemara says, Diurin Haboyin B'Shabbos Asurin. If you have new people coming into the area on Shabbos, because from this point of view, each side is now considered like new people coming into the other side's Erev Chatzeros, so new people ruin it on Shabbos if they come into place. So Gemara says, Lav Davka Dilma the Imat Me Esmo. We could actually be talking about that this will occur on Friday afternoon. So the haystack was actually, the hay that was in this middle house was actually diminished below the 10 tefachim on Friday afternoon. And therefore, only in that situation do we say that they can't make their own private Erev Chatzeros on the right, Erev Chatzeros on the left, but they have to make one single merged Erev Chatzeros if they wish to. But if it was on Shabbos that it got diminished, you have no right, because who says the Bryce is talking about it got diminished on Shabbos? The Bryce could be talking about that it got diminished during the Erev Shabbos period of time. Then the Braisa said, Ketzeduosa, what should a person do to correct this? We said he had to do two things. He had to be, number one, no Elispace. So we said, for example, the guy on the right had to close the door from his house, the rightmost of the three chambers, the houses, the sheds that are in the middle. So he closes his door, the rightmost house that goes into the rightmost chotzer. So no Elispace. So he has to lock that door, close that door, and then he had to also be Mevatel's Rishus to the other side. So Gemara says, Tarti, why does he have to do both of them? Why isn't one alone enough? So Gemara says, you're right, Taka, one alone would be enough for the other side to be able to go and use it. However, it doesn't mean that you need to do both. Hachi Kamar, all Noel is based, so all Mevatel is Rishus. So the first Teretz is an easy Teretz. That wasn't a and umivato reshuso, it was an or. Sometimes a vav can be an and, sometimes a vav can be an or. Here it's either no elespe so there or mivato reshuso. So it's not both, it's either one. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two is no, it actually is both. Vibayi Seimalion Tarte was saying in this specific case you have to do both. Why? Because this person is very used going from the Tevin into his house, into his courtyard. Kiven the Doshbe, he's very used to doing this, so this is an extra restriction that the rabbis put in on him, also la Taltule, to prevent him from going to carrying Kiven the Doshbe. Since he's so used to doing this, he's going to forget himself. So therefore, lock your door and be Mavato. You really only needed to do one, but here we make you do both, so it's like an extra gedder, an extra fence here, that you don't go and by accident do something wrong. Then finally, we quote again, who was a chaver mutter in this situation? That person himself, who was mevatel rishus, he no longer can use the tevin. But the other side, they can use the tevin. Gemara says, obviously pshita. Once you mevatel rishus, of course you can't use it. So Gemara says, lo tzricha. The chiddush over here is in this brisa is the hader idach ubatel lechavrei. What you might have thought could be done is, first, the guy on the right is Mavato, so the guy on the left can take Tevin for his animals. After he's taken enough Tevin, guess what? The guy on the left will say, I'm now Mavato to you. And now the guy on the right has the rights again to use the Tevin, because the left guy has been Mavato to him. And now the right guy can take all the Tevin that he wants. So you might have thought that this is allowed. So the Chiddush over here is, the Ein Mavatlin, the Chosin Mavatlin. This is something we also had previously. So this Bryce is telling us, you can't do this. That's why he told us, who was the Chaver Mutter? That's it. For the rest of Shabbos, that's it. You can't go back and forth, back and forth. Chosin Mavatlin, Chosin Mavatlin. That's not allowed. Then finally, the last part of the Bryce, it said, similarly, you taught me the same din when you had the two cities and they're each of their 2,000 tchum ended right plop in the middle of this haystack, of this barrel of a bale of hay. So the right side can use the right half of the bale of hay and the left side can use the left half of the bale of hay. So Gemara says, Pshita, again, why would we think otherwise? So Gemara says, no, the chiddush over here is as follows. You need this chiddush to teach us that according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that Tchumim is Daraisa, we also don't make any distinction. This is needed. L'tzrich, lo tzrich, lo Rabbi Akiva, Diyama Tchumim Daraisa. We had the opinion of Rabbi Akiva several times in the Masechta already, who says that Kum is a din d'oraisa. So you might have thought, according to Rabbi Akiva, Ma'al d'teima ligzar, that the Chazal should go make a gzeir over here to say that if you allow the right side to use the right half of the bale of hay, they may forget themselves and take the left half of the bale of hay, and that would be over in Issa d'oraisa. So maybe we should make a din. Dilma osi lechlufe, you may come to make a mistake, and therefore the rabbis will go to it. So kumash v'lon, the chiddush of the rice is that the rabbis did not make such a gzeir. Now we go on to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Kesad mishtatvim mavoy. We've been talking a lot about a sheet of mavoyos. How does one actually do this? When we talked about an Erev Chatzeres, we said you needed to have a box of matzah. We said you have to do bedavka bepas. Here, by a sheet of mavoyos, you don't have to do it with pas. Of course you can, but you can do it by just having everybody contribute a certain amount of food that's needed for the sheet of mavoyos. Now, if you have to go around, you have 20 people there, you have to go around and collect, let's say, a matzah from every person, that could be difficult. So the Mishnah is telling us there's an easier way to do this. Ketzad mishtatvim b'mavoy, if you want to make your life easy, instead of having to go to every single person and say, put in the kitty over here, enough food for the Erev, for the sheet of mavoyos. So instead of doing that, one person can say, miniach hasachavis, he puts his barrel, which contains enough of wine or oil or whatever the food may be, for the sheet of mavoyos. And he can say, I am designating this for everybody's usage. Everybody in the Mavi now has a share in this, and therefore he is making it as if everybody has contributed, but he has to do some sort of a zikui on their behalf. He has to somehow give it over to them. So the way you do this is by his mezakalehen, ayde beno ubito hagedolim, he can go and give it over. Somebody will go pick it up at Tefach, as we'll see, either his son or his daughter, who are Gedolim. Now, Gedolim normally means that they're above the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah. However, Tosus brings down over here that this means that they're not dependent on him, because as we'll see, even a younger child under certain situations below the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah is allowed to make this zikui on their behalf if they're their own separate person. They're not dependent upon the father for support. And this is a raya, Tosus says, because it says, Ayyadeh, the next part of the Mishnah, or you could do this Ayyadeh Abdo Vishivchaso Ivrim by Eved Ivri or a Shivcha Ivris. So you're allowed to go and do this. Now, a Shivcha Ivris, by definition, cannot be Bas Mitzvah, or else she can't be a Shivcha. She goes free with Simonim. So Tosus wants to bring a Raya that you see over here, that if they're separate financial entity, then even if they're under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah, they could do the Zikoy on behalf of the other people. In any event, the simple understanding is that they're above the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah, so they're Mezaka on behalf of everyone else. According to many, they could even do this if they are the financially dependent on the father. But the Bnei Bito Gdolim and the Eved Ivri or the Shivcho Ivriya, they're allowed to go and do the Zikoy. Likewise, Vayidei Ishto, his wife can do this for him as well. The Gemara will discuss why these aren't problems or concerns. After all, to a certain extent, they are him. So he can't do the zikui. So how are all these people allowed to do the zikui on his behalf? The Gemara will discuss this. In any event, the Gemara says, however, avoleinu mazaka, but you can't do the zikui via lo ayidei beno bito akitanim, v'lo ayidei abdo v'shivchaso akinanim. But people that are totally subordinate to you, such as your younger children, or children that are totally financially dependent upon you, or an eved kinani, or a shivcho kinanis, who is your property and doesn't have a separate status, so then in this situation, because their hand is no different than your hand, literally. And therefore, just like you can't do the zikoy, it has to change rishus, and somebody else has to lift it up at tefach, so too these people, their hand is like your hand, and they can't do this. Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda, Chavis Shoshitu Vimavoyos, this barrel that we said you put in the wine, you put in the oil, you put in whatever food you have that this person is doing to be mezakeh and everybody else, when the person does the zikui, tzarech lagbia min hakarka tefach, he has to lift it up a tefach from the ground. Otherwise, it is still considered as belonging to the owner and it wasn't yet transferred over to all the other people. That's what Rav Yehuda says. Amar Rava, Rava adds on and he says, Hani tarti mili sabi de pumbadisam rinu. These two laws, one of which we just said, and an additional law that the Chachamim of Pumpadisa taught us are the following. Rashi says, who are the Sabi Pumpadisa? This is Rav Yehuda v'Yeshivaso. And we have this in the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Sanhedrin where it discusses this. In any event, the Sabi the Pumpadisa, Rav Yehuda and his Yeshiva, they said two dinim. One, Chodaha. We just said, I'm Rav Yehuda. He just said that the Chavis has to be lifted up a tefach. And what was the second law that they taught? Idach, Hamikadesh, if somebody's making Kiddush on Shabbos, so how much does he have to drink in order to fulfill the mitzvah of drinking from the Kiddush? So im toam melo lugbav, if he had a cheekful over here of the wine, yotza. Vim lav, if he did not have a cheekful, lo yotza. He didn't fulfill his obligation of making Kiddush. Those are the two things that Rava says the Sabi Pumptisa, Rabbi Huda, and his yeshiva taught us. Amir Chaviv, Rabbi Chaviv said, no, there are additional dinim that they taught us. Hanami Sabi de Pumpadisa Amrinu. The following din was also said over by these elders of Pumpadisa. The Amir Yehuda Mishmuel, Yehuda said, name Mishmuel, Osim Medura Lechaya B'Shabes. You're allowed to go make a torch. In other words, you can make a fire for a woman in childbirth. Lechaya is a woman in childbirth on Shabbos. Now note, they specifically said you can do this seemingly only for a woman in childbirth. So the people, when they heard this ruling, they said, Sovereign Mina, Lechaya, and only for a woman in childbirth. However, Lechola, for a regular sick person, lo, you're not allowed to go and make this torch. Now, we're obviously talking about here where it isn't a true Pikuach Nefashu situation, or else everybody would agree you can do whatever needs to be done in true Pikuach Nefashu situation. So this Chaya, you're allowed to do it, they felt, because even though it's not an absolute Pikuach Nefashu situation, she's allowed to have this done for her. But for a regular sick person where it's not an absolute Pikuach Nefashu situation, you wouldn't be allowed to go and do this Medura, this Hesek Gadol, as Rashi says. Likewise, this would only be allowed to be done in the cold winter months. Bimos ha-gishomim in. You can only do this in the cold winter months, but bimos ha-chama lo. But you can't do this in the summer months because there's no need for it, even for the woman in childbirth. It's certainly not pikuach nefashu situation at all. And even while we allow for her in the winter, we don't allow for her in the summer. That was what they thought from the Savi Pumadisa. However, they learned in the Beis Medrash, Amar Chiyah Bar Ravin, Amar Shmuel, that that's not true. Because based upon the following, if somebody had a phlebotomy, Hikiz Dam, they used to do, again, phlebotomies, they used to do blood drawings on a regular basis for treatment of various illnesses and for good maintaining good health. So when somebody had this phlebotomy, Hikiz Dam, Vinistanin, and then they got cold. Not surprisingly, if you take out blood from somebody, they're going to probably feel cold. So this person who had this bloodletting, and now he's in a situation where he's nitzdanin, he's cold. So also lo medur b'Shabbos, you're allowed to go make a fire for him on Shabbos. Va'afilu b'tkufas tamas, and even if it's during the hot summer month, the kufas tamas is the summer, so you're allowed to do this. So similarly, in our case, it wasn't just for the woman in childbirth, but it would be for any chola as well. Another din, Omer Meima, another din, Honami, Sabi Tepumatis Amrinu, another din that the Sabi Pumatis told us, reviewed in his base matters, did my they learned, A Zoe Asheristam. What is the definition of an Asherah tree? An Asherah tree, again, we've mentioned many times, is a tree that was being used for Avodah Zarah. The tree itself was worshipped. So how do you know which is an Asherah tree? So Omer Rav said the following are the good signs to tell you that something is an Asherah tree. Kol Shimisharse of the Gilulim Shomenosa. If you see that the priests, the Misharshim, the Mishan Moshim of this Avodah Zara, this Asherah tree, are watching it. So they don't watch other trees, they just watch this tree, so that's a sign that it's an Avodah Zara. We turn to the Amud Aleph, Pe'amud Aleph, furthermore, they ain't to'amim mi'peroseha, and they don't eat the fruit. The fruit is like hektish for them, lahavdil, and therefore, the ilav de pochur, Rashi says, if it wasn't for the fact that they were worshipping this tree, lovi parshabinat, they wouldn't not eat its fruit. So therefore, you can see these two signs, Rav taught us, are signs that this is an Asherah, an Avodah Zara tree. Shmuel Amar, Kigon the Arme, Shmuel adds, I don't think it's mutually exclusive, Shmuel adds, also, Kigon the Arme, if they, the Misharsim, were to say, Hani Tamre L'Shichra Debe Nitzrefe, the dates that are growing on this tree, we're going to make beer for it, we're going to make it for the beer that's going to be used in this base Avodah Zarah, this base Nitzrefe. And Rashi says, this is Shem Avodah Zarah, Shai Sabosu Medina. So they're using this for Avodah Zarah purposes, obviously this must be an Avodah Zarah tree. The Shosulei B'Yom Chagam, that they used to drink from this beer on their holidays, on the Chag of the Goyim. Amar Meima, Meima says, now the Mashal is Mochik, that it's Amar Meima, but in any event, Amar Meima, for Amar Li Sabi Pumtidisa, the Sabi Pumtidisa, the Chachamim, said, Hilchasa Kavati de Shmuel, we pass it over here like Shmuel. This is, in fact, a way to know that a tree is a certain Asherah tree. With this, we conclude today's shir.